today's message, we're moving into the theme that we have, In His Footsteps. You see that on the screen. And In His Footsteps, this month is His great love. The great love that Jesus shows us, His great love. And in His great love, the subtitle into that is The Promised Gift. So this month is, as we're following Jesus' footsteps, His great love for us, and in His great love, He gives a promised gift. A promised gift for you and for me, for each one of us. And He does that through His love and His grace. And He does it in such a way that's intimacy between you and me. We're going to talk more about that in that understanding. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, to sit in your presence, to understand the care and the love that you have for us, and the well-meaning and well-being that you want to give to us through your Spirit. So, Lord, this morning, some of us may be tired, some of us may be under some sort of pressure. I pray, Lord, that we can stop and listen and see what you have for each one of us in today's message. In Jesus' name, amen. 36 years ago, a young man, 22 years old, invited a 21-year-old young lady out to dinner. Took her to a restaurant high on the escarpment over Wollongong and sat there in fear and in trepidation because he had a gift to give her. It was a very special gift. It was round and it was gold. And it was a gift that he was longing for her to accept because it was one of the biggest decisions that he had ever made. As he's looking across the table to this girl that he would like to give this gift to, she's very confused because she thinks that the relationship is over. She thinks that he has brought her to this restaurant to say it's over, it's finished, parting ways. That's how nervous I was. That's how confused Helen was. So I was romantic enough to get down on one knee at the restaurant and ask her to marry me. She said yes. She was really confused about me confusing her and how that all worked. But there's a time when you give gifts, right? And you think about the gifts. And there's an intimacy in some of the gifts that you give. But you long for the gift to be received in the right and proper way. And so I'm leading into this because Jesus gives us a gift, and he does it because he's longing for us to receive this gift and understand the gift is his intimacy to each one of us. So I'm going to read into this in John 15. Please have your mind in this thinking that Jesus is now John 15:16-17, his intimacy with his disciples sitting there having this conversation, talking about them with them, and talking to God the Father at the same time, and about what's coming up soon. So I want to set this scene for you. And so this is what Jesus is sharing. There's this whole passion to this, to these words that he shares. He says, but this is to fulfill what was written in their law. They hated me without reason. This is Jesus straight coming out. And we can see that, that they hate Jesus, but for what reason? He was healing people. He was helping people. He was helping people to see who God the Father is. He was trying to transform and take people out of the struggle with law and rules and bring them to an understanding that God is not about law and rules. God is about this intimate relationship between you and him, this loving, caring God. And Jesus says they hated him without reason. And so then when Jesus says, when the advocate comes, and our understanding, advocate is the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So you can hear he's talking to the disciples, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about God the Father. All of this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In other words, from following me, they'll put you out of the synagogue, out of the Jewish church. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. We see that in the martyrdoms. They think that they need to kill Christians because they think they're doing something good for God in this. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, going to the Father who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So what does all that mean? That's a lot of bouncing around, isn't it? Sort of coming, going here, receiving, giving, all this. We're going to break that down in a moment. But I want you to see two parts. We believe that God is Trinity, don't we? You heard that word, Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three separate natures, but being one essence. Three parts, but one. Each having a different role. So if we look at it as a triangle, helps us understand the strength of Holy Spirit, God the Father and God the Son. But in a place of obedience, we want to understand this place of obedience. Jesus just talked about Father, Son, you know, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit working through. So what's happening in a place of obedience? We find that Jesus is obedient to what the Father says. So many times we see Jesus say, I only do what I do because the Father has told me what to do. So in that place of obedience. Is he equal to God the Father? Yes, he is. We're going to talk about that a bit more in a moment. What about the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is obedient to what Jesus says. So we see this triangle. Now, I'd like to say the triangle goes, Holy Spirit is, you know, God the Father is obedient to Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. We're going to explain that in a moment. And then we come to revelation. So this was obedience. So who's obedient to who, and how does that work in hierarchy? Then in revelation, to be revealed. Holy Spirit now is revealing who Jesus is. For you and I to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit has revealed him to us. And so what does Jesus do? He reveals who Father is. So Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Jesus reveals who the Father is. Now, you might look at this and go, this is an equal triangle. Looks like Holy Spirit misses out in the subservience. Let me explain it to you this. I've tried to put it together in one thing here, right? So it goes like this. God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit are co-equal, co-eternal. In other words, always has been. And one essence, for those who know the Greek, is omousios. All right. One essence, God. Existing in perfect unity and relationship, though distinct in their roles. Each person of the Trinity is equal in divine nature, and while there is a dynamic of voluntary submission within the Trinity, i.e. Jesus to the Father and Holy Spirit to both Father and Son, they are one. That's the best way I can sort of explain it here. It's a voluntary submission. It's not a required submission. And it works when you put it all together. God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are co-equal, co-eternal, and one essence. They're God at the same time. They exist in perfect unity and relationship, though they're distinct in their roles. Each person of the Trinity is equal in divine nature, and while there's a dynamic of voluntary submission within the Trinity, i.e. Jesus to the Father and Holy Spirit to both Father and Son, they are one. Now, it's a lot to get your head around. I get that. It's a lot to get your head around. As Talitha asked that simple question, can you explain Holy Spirit? Might be a simple question, but the answer is complex. And so Advocate has so much to share with us. So let's look at a little bit more. I'm going to go back through the passage because it's so jumping around. I want you to see as Jesus is talking simply about the Father, and then Jesus is talking simply about Holy Spirit. And then Jesus is talking and bringing this together to his disciples to try to help them understand it. Remember, walking in his footsteps means they're trying to understand what he's talking about. So we're going back to the passage, but I'm highlighting different parts. Verse 26, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. So Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit, Jesus is sending, I'm sending will send to you from the Father. So Holy Spirit's coming from the Father through Jesus coming out is the Spirit of truth. And he goes out from the Father. So Father God sends Holy Spirit and Jesus is sending him through. So this, remember this intimacy going through. Then we go to verse 3. They'll do such things because they have known the Father or me. They have not known the Father or me. Again, Jesus talking about this intimacy. I'm just picking this intimacy between the three. Verse 5, but now I am going to him who sent me. I'm now going, Jesus says, I'm going to die. I'm going to the Father, the one who sent me. But in verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking about God the Father coming, Holy Spirit talking to the disciples. All this is coming together as, as a team. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. So I have to go, so the advocate will come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This whole working through. In verse 10, and about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you will see me no longer. And then in 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Again, that subservience coming through. Verse 14, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. When we read all this, we see this intimacy, this interworking, interweaving. Jesus is talking about God the Father. He knows the Father. He's talking about Holy Spirit's coming, gift to come to you all. It's resetting a new understanding for the disciples. A special gift is coming. So then when Jesus says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So the advocate, what does advocate mean? Advocate, definition and meaning. Advocate, a person who pleads for or in behalf of another, an intercessor, a person who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. An advocate speaks on behalf of. So in this case where Jesus makes this comment about the advocate, about sin, the Holy Spirit will tell us an understanding about sin. What does he say about this? Because people do not believe in me. It's sin not to believe in Jesus. It's sin. It's this place where it's going against God's will. Sin is going against God's will. God's will is for us to understand who Jesus is. To not believe or understand that he went to the cross. To not believe or understand that he rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit will convict us to understand it was Jesus, his death and his resurrection. It was so powerful, so mighty, so wonderful. They didn't believe in the things that he did. How many times did Jesus said, well, even if I say these things, at least believe in the miracles that I performed. At least believe in the miracles. It's sin not to believe in the miracles that have come from God. How many times is he challenged? The Pharisees challenge him. Oh, you've raised someone from the dead. You can't do that. Or this person who's lame is walking. Oh, that's you can't, you know, this is wrong. He's only done really good things for people because God gave him the authority to do it. And yet it's sin not to believe that he's done all these things. Holy Spirit will convict us in that and understanding. And about the advocate talks about righteousness. Because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. That conviction of righteousness. What does righteousness mean? What does righteousness really mean? To stand in right standing with God. How do you become a place of right standing next to God? Can you do it yourself? Can you pay enough money? Hey, how do you become a place of right standing with God? Only through Jesus, what Jesus has done. So we know that Jesus is righteousness or in righteous because he can go straight to God the Father. That place of right living, that right standing. Now, I don't know what heaven looks like, so I've just given you a place of stars and something amazing, you know, incredible. But that place of righteousness. And about judgment. The Holy Spirit will guide us into an understanding of judgment. So just getting back to this place of righteousness, Holy Spirit will convict us of righteousness because Holy Spirit will convict us of things that we do wrong and we need to get right as well. So about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The prince of this world now stands condemned. This judgment understanding. There is a judgment. We live in a world that says there's we like the idea of heaven. We live in a world that says, oh, hell's too scary. No, we don't like the idea of hell. So we'll cancel culture hell. Yeah? We cancel culture hell. But there's some people that we know are absolutely horrible and they've done really, really horrible things, but we don't know what to do with them. So we leave that to one side. We don't deal with that. But here we have the prince of this world is condemned. We understand, as believers in Jesus, we understand there's a heaven and we understand there's a hell. We understand there's Jesus and angels. We also understand there's a devil and demons. So there's a good and there's a bad. There's a moral understanding and there's evil. And evil has to be dealt with. And we understand in that place of evil, there has to be a place of condemnation. And we believe that Satan is condemned. And one day he will be in that place where we read a place that you and I don't want to ever go near. Holy Spirit will tell us there is a place of good, there is a place of evil. Holy Spirit challenges our conscience and tells us what's right and wrong. A.W. Tozer says this, "The Holy Spirit is our cloud by day and our fire by night. Without him, we only wander aimlessly about in the desert." If you know the reference, when the Israelites left Egypt, there was a place where the Holy Spirit was a cloud by day. In the heat of the desert, the cloud was protective. And at night, they gave the Holy Spirit was a light that came through. Also, he writes, A.W. Tozer writes, "I don't want the world to define God for me. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal God to me." I want you to sit in that for a moment. I don't want the world to define God for me. How much are we influenced by people's definition of who God is? I want the Holy Spirit to reveal God to me. Let's go to the source. So what does that mean for you and me? I want you to really hang on to this for a moment. We talk so often about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want you to sit in this for a moment. What about this? Holy Spirit is a gift. Holy Spirit is a gift for you and for me. Holy Spirit is a gift. God the Father, how many times do you hear about, oh, God created the world and sort of ran away, is sitting up there and so abstract, you don't know who God the Father is, right? Abstract. And then we'll say, well, God's too far away. We don't know how we can, you know him or understand him. And then we see Jesus and we go, okay, we can relate to Jesus. He came to earth as a man and he walked with us, but he died and he rose again and he went to heaven. So they're sort of both up there. How can we relate to God if God the Father's up there, Jesus sitting on the throne in heaven? How do we relate? And Jesus says, I understand. I understand it's going to be tough for you. He says that to his disciples. You're going to weep. You're going to miss me. But guess what? Or I don't know if Jesus said, guess what? But Jesus is like, I'm gonna give you something. When I go, I'm going to give you Holy Spirit. Because yes, you see me now and I'm only with a small group, but Holy Spirit is for you and for the whole world. For the whole world is a gift. And Holy Spirit as a gift comes to you and me. And our belief and our understanding, is Holy Spirit is for each one of us. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, when we understand and accept him for what he's done and who he is, our belief and understanding is Holy Spirit comes inside us. The incredible scholar once said, two things I don't understand about God and his nature. One is God is so huge in the universe. His spirit is so big in the universe. And yet he could be in my heart. God is so big in the universe. And yet he can be so intimate in my own heart. That's not a God who's out there, who's not interested in what's in here. That's impacting. I couldn't find the quote, but I read it once that there was a, I think it was a Buddhist monk who was quite well known, and he was asked to read the Bible, asked to read about Jesus. And after he read it through, he was fascinated by the Christian story. And so he was asked, they asked him, what impacted you? What was so special? What did you read that was so special? Was it Jesus dying on the cross and rising again from the dead? He said, oh, that is a wonderful story. But he said, the thing that fascinates me the most about the Christian journey is the God of the universe actually goes inside each person. That's the beauty of Holy Spirit being a gift.